Carol?
You're right there.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well.
Thank you.
I'd like to, this morning, invite you over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, verse 10. Proverbs, chapter 31, verse 10. Proverbs, chapter 31, verse 10 reads this way. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." Then if you would drop down to verse 28. "Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. Lord, once again, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your church, Lord, and then again being reminded where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. Lord, may we never forget that you are right here with us. And Lord, we do pray and ask for the filling and the guidance of your Holy Spirit to open up the scriptures to our hearts and minds. And Lord, that we would be receptive to the truth you have for us here this morning, that you might strengthen the faith that you've given to us. And then, Lord, if there's one or more than one that may not know you as Savior, may you speak to their hearts as only you can to help them understand their need to know you as Savior as well. Again, Lord, may you be uplifted and glorified and our lives drawn closer to you. And again, we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "Who Can Find a Virtuous Woman?" Sounds like a good find to me, don't you? Who can find a virtuous woman, or a godly mother of great value? A godly mother of great value. Listen, there are a lot of moms out there that are not pointing their children towards eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, they're not doing their family any favors. Even if they gave them the whole world and all the wealth of the world and they had all the health that they could have, that's all vanishing away. The greatest prize that anybody can have, or the gift received, of course, is eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And from the very beginning all the way through the scriptures, they testify of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And so that really is what brings virtue. But this morning, we're going to consider in our text, we're going to notice four relationships that are blessed by a virtuous woman. These are four relationships that are blessed by a woman who is given over to the things of the Lord. And so we'll consider in this virtuous woman these are different ingredients, but there's an all-important ingredient that's essential for a godly mother, and we're going to look at that here at the end. By the way, for a godly wife or any other relationship that would honor the Lord in the family. So look with me if you will, and I want you to see these important ingredients and their results. And so the first one is the heart of her husband. Back up there with me to verse 10. And notice what it shows here. It reveals really the great value of trust. Look at verse 10. "Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies," by the way, which is a precious stone. And then notice verse 11. "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her." That's a good relationship, right? I believe in the right kind of a marriage, the husband ought to trust in his wife, and the wife ought to trust in her husband. And that's not because of what the wife is doing in a sense for the wife, but because of the relationship that the wife or the husband has with the Lord, and their faithfulness is ultimately to the Lord, and then it comes out to the spouse and to the children. That's what the world is missing. They have, listen, in the eyes of the world, those that don't believe in God, we're just a big accident. That's all we are. And all of a sudden, this explosion took place, and here we are, right? I don't know how that makes sense to anybody. That's like saying an explosion. We'll even give them the benefit of an ink shop creates the dictionary, everything in proper order, right? In alphabetical order. That will never happen. You can create an explosion anywhere, and all that does is it tears down. It never builds up. And so we know from the very beginning that the Creator God spoke and things came into existence. And by the way, fathom this thought. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Then that means everything to God is easy. Think about that, all right? There's nothing hard for the Lord.
everything, even the things that confound the wisest of mankind, to the Lord, that's nothing. That is easy. That's the God we serve. Amen? He is all-knowing. How much do we know of everything there is to know? We don't even know that answer, right? Because we don't even know how much there is to know. And God knows more than all of that that's in our universe. God knows beyond our creation. And he is infinite. There is no end to him. That'll hurt your brain if you start to think about it. But that's the God that we serve that holds everything in his hands. And so, notice again, verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. He trusts in her completely. And he says, there's nothing that's going to spoil. Nothing's going to spoil in his relationship with her. Nothing is going to spoil in the relationship with their children. They'll be pointed in the right direction. Nothing is going to spoil. Don't you like that? Isn't that a good thought? Nothing spoils when it's in the hands of the Lord. Amen? And so those people who seek to serve the Lord and to walk with the Lord, God says, I'll see to it that nothing will spoil. Everything will come to fruition for our good and the honor and glory of the Lord. Ultimately. So, as we consider this, notice what she says, what he says here in verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. This is an important ingredient, and we see the result here is a happy husband, isn't it? Amen? Amen. You can say amen. Listen, do you know God created man and women? Right? And the marriage relationship, the institution of marriage is from created by God. It was in his heart. We didn't just come up, I think we ought to create marriage. Mankind never created that. It was a picture in eternity past. God created that as a picture of what it was going to be like for Christ and his bride. Amen? Christ and the people of God. So what a wonderful blessing here we find that the Lord is showing that this virtuous woman is becoming and is really for her husband. And so, by the way, it's vice versa. It works both ways. God intends the husband to be a godly spouse for his wife as well. And then so notice we find this great value of trust, but then we also find here this willingness to work. Look at verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax, worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. So she's not slacking, is she? She's not caught up in things that are not productive. If you consider her ways, you will find that she is thinking about building her relationship, we'll see ultimately with the Lord, but building her relationship with her family, being a blessing to her household. And so the first thought is that the heart of her husband is blessed. This is an important ingredient to a virtuous woman. Then secondly, we'll find that the heart of her household is also blessed. Look at verse 15, if you will. It says, she riseth also while it is yet what? Night. It is night. It's still dark outside. And giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. That means she is making preparation, right? In this particular household, obviously she's got maidens that are involved in there that are not part of her immediate family. But she is treating them. Listen, when somebody treats you right, do you appreciate it? Amen. When you can see that somebody cares for you, that ought to cause us to say, "What I am blessed." Amen. What a blessing it is to have somebody that cares like this woman does. And by the way, these are important ingredients that make up a virtuous woman, but ultimately we're going to see the key ingredient. We'll see that here in just a moment. Verse 16, she considereth the field and buyeth it. Not only is she getting up while it's night, but now she's looking at a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Did you hear that? She girds her loins with strength. Now where does all strength come from? So she has to have a relationship with the Lord, doesn't she? So she is seeking. Listen, there is no way that you and I, here is the nature of mankind. Ready? Well, you got some nerve to ask me to do that for you. You know what the world says? Look out for number. Who's number one in the world? The individual. But what does the Lord say? If we're going to be the greatest, we're going to be the servant. By the way, is God Almighty the greatest one that ever lived? And he came into the world as a what? As a servant. As a servant, right? He served. He came to serve. He came to serve so that you and I might be able to be restored in the relationship that God had intended from the very beginning. When you look at this world, realize you are looking at a sin-cursed world because of the rebellious heart of mankind. That's why it's there. Listen, if some people say, well, if there was a God, there is a God. Why is all this evil? That's a good question. But why blame it on the Lord? How about we find out in the book in the book of Genesis where it all started? Everything was paradise until Adam and Eve sinned. Amen? When they rebelled, and by the way, you know, the world thinks they are so wise. And they think, well, listen, they come to the conclusion, if God was real, there would be no wickedness. Wait a minute. Who in the world is creating the wickedness in this world? When somebody robs a house, was that God that robbed the house? When somebody commits a murder, was it God that committed murder? No, it was mankind. When a war is started, was it God that started a war, or was it the evil wickedness of the heart of man that caused these things to come to pass? And so these are the things that come out of the heart of mankind. And yet God says, in spite of our rebellion and our walking away from the Lord, he says, I want to bring you back. But here's the thing, ready? God says this. He's told us this also. He says, here's the thing you got to understand, though. You have to trust me. That's called faith. You have to trust the Lord. Now watch this. And God's ways are not our ways. So mark it down. You're going to come across something that's not going to set well with you. It's not going to set well with me. You know why? Because we don't think the way the Lord thinks. But pray, and that's right, amen, because if we were God, we'd never give humanity another chance. Everybody would be just dead, amen? Because we don't have the love. Listen, God is everything that's good. You want to know where real joy comes from? You want to know where real fulfillment and contentment comes from? It comes from the Lord. You want to know where real love comes from? People today say, love is just love. Baloney. If it goes against the Lord, people are saying, now they're trying to tell us that pedophilia is love. Baloney. Which one of you would want some old individual that's a creep to molest one of your children or grandchildren? Why, that's not love. That is an abomination. That's what God says. See, listen, we cannot let the world define what the truth is. There's only one source of the truth. Now, the devil will tell you he's got the truth and that the Lord is lying to us. But God says, listen, I'll show you the truth and you will experience what the world cannot provide for you. We'll experience peace and understanding. You know, listen, the Apostle Paul, he thought he was right and he was persecuting the church. And God stopped them. God, as the saying goes, knocked him right off his horse, didn't he? He blinded, and then he knew, Lord, here's where he came to, ready? Here's what he said. Lord, what will thou have me do? That's how, you know what that's called? Surrender. But wait a minute, that's just the beginning of it. That's just where it got started. Then later on he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. If you learn something, that means you went through a process, didn't you? Sometimes it takes a long time to learn some things. Some things are not learned overnight. And by the way, we are constantly, as he said, pressing toward the mark and learning more about the Lord and the ways of God. And so he was able to come to the place to where he found contentment in every situation he was in. Even when it wasn't favorable, even when he was thrown into prison wrongfully, he still had the joy of the Lord. He wasn't sitting there. I'm not going to write another letter to these churches. Look, I'm just serving the Lord and I've been thrown in jail. Listen, he had the peace and the joy of the Lord and the love of God that motivated him to do more for the Lord and for the people of God. Do you know that as long as we are filled up with ourselves, we can never serve God wholeheartedly like He wants us to? We hinder the work of God if we're looking at things according to the way that we think. The way that they ought, because God's, listen, was it the will of God, fathom this, don't answer so fast, was it the will of God for Paul to go everything, to go through everything he went through? And the answer is yes. You mean to tell me for him to be mistreated and for all the, yep, it was. Because here's what he was trusting the Lord to do. You know what, Lord? You're even in this persecution. Lord, you're even in my mistreatment. And do you know what the Apostle Paul saw that he would never have seen any other way? The grace of God and the power of God that brought him through how many of his trials? How many? All of them. But if you never go through any of those trials trusting the Lord, you never see the hand of God. Because God works, again, not according to the way that we think. And so, are we willing, I didn't say you weren't saved, are we really willing to trust the Lord? Because if you're going to trust Him, it's not going to make sense. He's going to work outside of the way that we think. If we're not careful, listen, if you think about it, when you have a certain bent, you start to judge other people the way that we think. Well, they must have done this because that's what I would have done. But listen, that's a fallacy. Does everybody do what we think? No, especially God. In fact, if we're thinking it, mark it down, it's probably the opposite. And here's what we think. I should not be treated that way. And wait a minute. How did God the Father allow the Son to be treated? Are we better than the Son? And yet we can't. Did Jesus Christ wholeheartedly trust God the Father and the Spirit of the Lord? Yes. Does God expect you and I to trust the whole triune Godhead in everything? Absolutely. But there's one important ingredient that must take place. And that is the death of self and not trusting ourselves. And to humbly go through every situation, not defending ourselves, but saying, Lord, you're in control. Every time we get upset, every time, not mostly, every time we think something's not right, you know what we're saying? You messed up, God. You messed up. See, we don't like to think that way. But if we wholly trust the Lord, and how many ways are we supposed to trust the Lord in? Now, here's the real question. Don't answer this one. Do you personally trust the Lord all the time and you have the joy of the Lord all the time? We can have it. We can have it. And here's the indicator. Ready? Ready? If we're not happy and if we're not content and if we're not at peace, there's a problem. With who? God or us? Time to say, Lord, I need your help. Because I will never see this your way without your help. The truth is, we are too big for our own britches and we'll misunderstand it every time. And if we'll allow the Lord, you and I will be able to see in the midst of those trials, God working on us to root out ourselves that we might be submissive to the will of God and trust Him in a greater way. That's His process. That is His process. This is where this virtuous woman has come to. And that's why she had no problems serving her servants. They tell me I've never been in combat, but they tell me that the privates, the lower ranking individuals, are rallied when their lieutenant or their commanding officer is in the heat of the battle with them. In fact, going out in front. And that's what this virtuous woman was doing. She could have commanded her servants to take care of this. But she did it herself. And notice what happens here. Verse 17. She girdeth her loins with what? With strength. And strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She's busy, isn't she? And listen, she is not doing that in her own power. She is doing that because of the relationship that she has with the Lord. And you'll see that here in just a moment. By the way, I'll just give you an advance notice. That is the most important ingredient, her relationship with the Lord. She layeth, verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Now listen, all those things without her relationship with the Lord will amount to no good. That, listen, you can do all of those things and miss the Lord. You can do all of those things and you're going to think big of who? Without God. Who are you going to? You will think big of, look what I've done. Look what I've done. Didn't the Lord say, I think the Lord said in Matthew chapter 7, many are going to say to me in that day, but Lord, Lord, look what we've done in your name. But you know what Jesus says I'm going to say to them? What is he going to say? What? He never knew them, and look at all that they did. And here's the thing, they thought they were known of God, but they were not. So see, the important ingredient is a relationship with the Lord. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Do you know what the world would say to that? Why, he's got some unmitigated gall to be sitting and her wife doing all the work. He's busy working too, I promise you that. Because a marital relationship that is blessed by the Lord is a two-person party, amen? And both are at work not for their betterment, but for the honor and glory of God that brings their betterment. So we get a personal testimony. And by the way, it's hers. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen. This is all a testimony of what this husband has to the glory of his wife. And ultimately to the glory of God. She maketh fine linen, selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. Strength and honor are her clothing. Where does true strength and true honor come from? Comes from the Lord. Comes from God. And she shall rejoice in time to come. Do you think this woman, by the way, she had trials. I promise you that. That's just the way God works on all his people. It's not a strange thing when some trial comes into our life. God's working on us. God is working so that we might yield to him and trust him in every situation and circumstance. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt and all of a sudden they came to a trial, they murmured and complained and did not trust the Lord. And they took matters into their own hands. Was God happy with them? Likewise also in the New Testament. Oh, you know, Peter's telling the Lord, you can't go to the cross. That shall never be. And then when the Lord was getting ready to go to the cross and he was washing the disciples' feet and he comes to Peter. And he said, and Peter says, you should never wash my feet. You shall never wash my feet. You know what the Lord said to him? Then you have no part with me. And then what did Peter say? Give me a bath. Wash all of me. I appreciate Peter. That gives me hope. Because I think I'd have said the same thing, and then the Lord corrected him again. You don't need your whole body to be washed, just your feet. See, we like to think we know what God's thinking. And it requires humility to walk in the ways of God. Humility says, I am nothing, God. You are everything. And I trust you. In how many things? You mean to tell me when somebody mistreats you, you're to turn the other cheek? We will never do it when we're full of ourselves. You mean to tell me that we're to love one another as Christ loved us? That'll never happen. Saved child of God, that'll never happen if we're on the throne of our hearts and our lives. Never happen. We'll be like Peter. Lord, you want me to call down fire from heaven? And the Lord will tell us, if we can hear him, you know not what spirit you're of. You know not what spirit you're of. So, here are the important ingredients. Verse 27, listen to this. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. And then again, listen. Her children, here is the heart of her children, and this is the key ingredient, really, that unlocks all the blessings of God and brings them into our lives. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises. You know why? Listen, do you know what they saw in this virtuous woman? Do you know what they saw? Do you know what the key ingredient was that they saw? Ready? Genuine, wholeheartedly, godly love. Because God is love. She was completely surrendered to loving the Lord, and in doing that and submitting to God, she was able to love her family in such a way that what they saw moved their hearts toward the Lord. Not away from God, toward the Lord. We can be so self-righteous, bless God, this is just the way it is, and we do nothing for the Lord. In fact, what we do is we repel people. They'll say, keep it. I don't want what you have. Because it's what we have and not what God has given to us. See, God wants today, listen, in our day and age, in every day and age, God wants us to exalt who? And in order to exalt him, we have to, it won't work any other way, trust him. Amen. With how many things that come into our lives? And listen, are we trusting the Lord if we're complaining? Can you imagine what the world must think? Oh, look at this now. Oh, look at that now. Oh, I can't. Can you believe this? Oh, God's in control. Right. Right. Oh, I'm living the life. Yeah, yours, but not, listen, that we are all capable of falling into that. Do you know why? We all battle the flesh. But here's the truth, ready? Lord, I'm giving it to you. And by the way, listen, does God hear our prayers when we pray for his will?
Yes.
Like that. And so by faith, trust, okay, Lord, I'm walking in your will by your power, your spirit in me. For how long? For however long. An hour, a day, a week. And then God, listen, as long as you're seeking the Lord and his will and his way, the moment he will allow us to see ourselves. And you know what ourselves will happen? Listen, ourselves will begin to smell real bad. We'll spot it in a moment. Oh my goodness, that was me again. And then we say, Lord, forgive me. And Lord, I know it's your will that I walk in your ways, because there's a lot at stake. What's at stake? The honor and glory of the Lord who saved me. The salvation of my family. Do you want your kids to just have a profession of faith? They said a prayer somewhere and no power and no change, and they're still in the world?
Right.
That would give you a perplexing testimony.
Right.
They're not turning toward the Lord? Or would you want them to really see that you would want to see them really love the Lord and seek God?
Yes.
Well, they'll never do it if we're not doing it. They'll never do it if they don't see it in us. Not just hear it, but see it. The real love of God. Did this woman's family see the love of God?
Yes.
Notice what it says here. Verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Listen, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. That's the camp to be in. Not just to be virtuous, but to excel. Notice what it says here. This is the last verse we're going to look at here. Favor is what? And beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Did you see that? A woman that feareth the Lord means that I reverence and respect God and His ways, and I walk in them. If we say we fear God, we're not just saying I said a little prayer somewhere. We're saying that we are, that listen, how much of the Word of God is dear to us if we fear the Lord? You get all of it. If we really fear the Lord, you mean to tell me that even the commandments that I can't keep, do you mean that we still love all the Word of God, even if we can't keep? If we fear the Lord, we love everything, even the parts we can't keep. Absolutely. And we don't alter them. We say, Lord, the problem is with me. And we bring ourselves before the Lord and we say, Lord, I want to walk in your commandments. I want to fear you in all my ways. And respect and reverence you in all my ways. And then she says, and it says here, again, verse 30, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And by the way, the Bible says that she received the fruit of her hands, and God will bless us also. One quick thought, I want you to hear something here, and this is important. In the book of 2 Timothy, I want you to listen in chapter 1, I'm just going to read this very quickly, and I want you to see the effect of a godly mother in the life of Timothy. So he writes this letter, verse 2, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. He's praying for Timothy. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. So he's going through a trial. Notice, when I call to remembrance in verse 5, the unfeigned, unwavering faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Now that's a testimony. Is this young man a servant of the Lord? Let me remind you how that happens. Ready? Years ago, many years ago, on a slope in the Alps, in the mountains, there lived a little fellow who was a hunchback, and he himself admired the great beauty that he could see, but he couldn't do much. He was handicapped. And so what he did was he worked down in this camp where they would prepare the gear for the climb. But he could never climb. And then one day a famous mountain guide said to him, how would you like to climb the mountain today? He said, oh, I'd love to, but look at me, I can't do it. He said, I'll get you there if you trust me. I'll get you there. And from the top of the summit, the grateful man kneeled down and poured out his heart in gratitude to the man that brought him up. Do you know what God is asking us to do? Trust Him. He'll take us there. But the moment we look to ourselves, we don't really see how unable and unfit we are to glorify the Lord in our strength. We need the Lord, or there's no glory. We will fool ourselves into thinking we're doing some great things for God, and God is saying, no, here's the great part, that you're like my son, a servant. Here's the great part, when you have joy and when you don't have to defend yourself and argue and complain and just have the joy and the love of God in how many situations? All of them. And when we don't have the joy of the Lord, we say, Lord, I need you to crucify my flesh. I can't do it. And I trust to walk in your ways. Do you know what a life like that influences? It influences a mother to her daughter, as in the life of Timothy, to her grandson. Do you think the grandmother ever thought she wasted her time serving the Lord? Do you think the mother ever thought she wasted her time dying to self, trusting in the Lord, to see God call her son to preach the gospel? See, listen, when God is proved 100% of the time, he will work 100% of the time. But we have to wholly trust the Lord, and then we will see great and mighty things which we would have dreamed never possible. So the Lord says, follow me, and I'll show you great and mighty things that will bring the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, the contentment, the fulfillment. You know, in essence, what it is? The life of God in us. God says, it's a gift. I want you to have it if you'll take it. The invitation is the Lord's, and once again, the opportunity is ours. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we do thank you for your mercy and your grace and your great love, Lord. You are always there to take us back, Lord, and for us to just call upon you and say, Lord, we need you, that you might work your will and your way in our lives. Bless, Lord, if there's anyone here that knows you not as Savior, may they realize they can talk to me right after the service. I'd be glad to sit down with them and show them the way of your salvation, that they might also enjoy the gift of eternal life that you paid for. Bless the invitation, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.